o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, geez, we saw some cricket scores on the weekend, MG. Some big, big numbers put up against teams. Here's how we called it all on Triple M NRL.
It's Gagai. Yes, they're catching up to him. Coates is hauling him in. What a tackle!
Wow.
What a tackle! Xavier Coates carried Dane Gagai over the sideline. Walker. Oh.
Brayley shows it to Woodsy. Woodsy goes to the line. Woods gets a try. Big Aaron. Big Woodsy. Triple M ambassador. They must have a shot at field goal here. It comes across to Pierce. Last tackle. Fitzgibbon. He gets it away. They'll score a try. Jones goes over. And the Knights score in the corner.
Peachy surveys. Rolls it a kick. Fifita. Yes. Fifita scores. This is as perfect a first half as you could get. 22 for 22 completions. Cherry Evans, a wild pass, but it bounces nicely for Saab. Runs down the sideline. Birds away. Then he steps inside Campbell and scores. Manly have outscored the Titans 48-0 after trailing at halftime 24-8. 56-24.
What an amazing round of rugby league. There were some massive scores. Rabbitohs, obviously, early in the week, last Thursday, 46-0. A couple of close games. Sharkies and Cowboys was a thrilling one. And yet again, we sometimes scratch our heads at some of the sin binnings and the penalties for the head-eye tackles. But all in all, yesterday, Tommy Turbo, my goodness, he's terrific.
And the irony is he probably won't win the Dally M because there's a bloke called Nathan Cleary who's just about rolling out man of the match every time he steps on the park.
Yeah, give it to him now.
It's
give
ridiculous. It to Nathan now. Look, we are going to break down the round of footy we just saw a bit later on, and we've got to talk about that West Tigers outfit. But, MG, we need to talk Origin off the top.
What's cracking?
The teams are in for State of Origin Game 2 this Sunday, Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. New South Wales with a 1-0 lead, looking to wrap up the series and make Game 3 a victory lap back in Sydney. MG, let's touch on New South Wales first. Just the one change, Jake Trbojevic out with that hip injury. And into the squad came both Dale Finucane and Angus Crichton, with Angus Crichton getting the nod in the 17 on the bench.
Yeah, pretty subtle change and like for like. Angus in, Jakey out with a hip injury. New South Wales lose nothing at all there. But when we look at the other team, my goodness, talk about panic stations.
Let's walk through this. Five players go out of this Queensland side, some with injuries, some just dropped. Offa Hengawi, Sua, Xavier Coates, AJ Brimson, and Harry Grant, all out of the side, which means that we see a Queensland side. Andrew McCulloch comes in at number 9.
Can't believe that. Yeah, amazing. Amazing. I know. I thought Ben Hunt would have been their dummy half, and they would have had maybe someone with a bit of an X factor coming off the bench. But no, they've gone with McCulloch, I suppose, just to tackle, because that's all he's going to do. I'm not surprised with Walsh. I applaud that decision. I think, why not? The kid's going to play Origin one day. He might as well get him in there and get him a taste of it. They've got nothing to lose with it. I mean, they're under the opinion, I suppose, that if you, like I am, if you're good enough, you're old enough. He's shown that in his brief 7 or 8 games of NRL that he's ready for at least first grade. We'll soon see if he's ready for Suncorp Stadium in a magic Blues team. Xavier Coates is the one I can't believe on the wing. I thought he was their best back in game one, Liam. And the fact that he's out, it's a head scratcher instead of felt. I don't get it.
For those that haven't seen it, Reece Walsh, the 18-year-old from the Warriors, comes in at fullback. Valentine Holmes shifts out to the wing, which is why Xavier Coates has been dropped from the side. You mentioned Ben Hunt. He comes in the 14. He's going to come off the bench. Francis Molo is the other one we see included into the team, MG. He's going to come off the bench in the number 17. And Josh Papalihi coming back in that front row, which is huge for Queensland, especially with Christian Welsh hopefully getting through the full 80, left game one with that concussion quite early on. MG, you say that Queensland has nothing to lose in blooding Walsh. Let me play devil's advocate here. They do have something. They've got the State of Origin series to lose.
It is it's a big gamble. Let's be honest. It's a gamble, but Brimson's not available, and I don't think Val Holmes is an Origin winger. It's a big step. This kid's got a good motor. He pops up everywhere in club footy anyway. But I like the fact that there's a bit of an X factor. You take him out of their team and they've got no X factor, really. And without trying to give them any ammunition, the Queenslanders, Jaden Sewer, I can't believe he's not in the 17 at least. You know, he's an enforcer. Fafita off the bench. Yeah, look, it's, you mentioned it. Welsh and Papalihi up front with McCulloch, they've gone for the three guys who are going to make a lot of tackles. Then off the bench, I suppose, they want a bit of punch from Fafita. But, New South Wales haven't won at Suncorp since 2017, so this is their best chance, I think.
I just wonder, MG, whether Paul Green's underestimating Cam Munster here, because let's not forget, from a New South Wales perspective, Cam Munster's still the most frightening bloke in a Queensland jersey, and he wasn't fit in game one. He's had time to get a little bit of fitness back under his belt. It feels like they're kind of, it's a Hail Mary throw with this Reece Walsh at fullback, as opposed to backing in, you know, DCE and Cam Munster and your big forwards to go out and defend your home turf. You're throwing this relatively, let's call it, he's played, what, six first grade games?
Yeah, seven.
Seven first grade games.
Yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying, but I like it. I don't mind it at all. Okay. I think it's equivalent to, you know, when Ponga burst on the scene a few years ago, we all said, you know, he's good enough, get him in there. And they did. They got him in. He played a bit of lock. And look, Munster's going to play better than he did game one. We know that. A lot of them are. Then we're not going to beat him by 50 points again, or 44 points. That's a given, especially at Suncorp Stadium. But I believe, especially with Tommy Turbo and Latrell, who weren't there last series, back, I think everything points to a blue victory.
Jeez, that's going to be a scary proposition for Reece Walsh watching, trying to guard against.
I imagine the high balls that Cleary's going to give him early.
Obviously, New South Wales already up in camp in Kingscliff, just trying to mitigate against any potential issues that might pop up with these COVID clusters in New South Wales or in Sydney. So they're already up there. The game this Sunday. MG, the one more team announcement I'm waiting to hear is that Boyd Cordner will be presenting jerseys. Surely he's a lock to be presenting the jerseys for this game too.
Well, that'd be inspirational, wouldn't it? You know, I think you're onto something nice there. It'd be a great tribute for the great man to be handing out the jerseys before the game, and you bet there's a few tears shed in the dressing rooms.
Speaking of tears in the dressing rooms, Sunshine Coast Stadium on the weekend, West Tigers rooms, 66-16, they suffered at the hands of the Melbourne Storm. Different sort of tears, I imagine, would have been in there amongst the West Tigers players. We haven't done this for quite a while, MG, but I think it's appropriate.
Ladies and gentlemen, panic!
Panic.
Wow! Wow!
66-16, MG, 40-0 at halftime, prompting coach Michael Maguire to deliver something of a terse spray and then collect his coaching staff and leave.
Yeah, it was amazing scenes, wasn't it? And I suppose he had no other option. When you keep telling your team what to do and they don't do it, I mean, it's you're hitting your head against a brick wall. I know that Tim Sheens is on his way. He can't get there quick enough to get his fingerprint all over this team. Noddy Kamali, I think, is going as an assistant as well, which will help. But you can't teach desire. You can't coach want. And at the moment, they didn't play. They did not play at all. I was Lee Hedjibitalis, the new director of the board, or CEO. He said it was embarrassing, humiliating, and I agree. But he's come out straight away and said that, Madge McGuire's safe. So the players obviously have got to look at the players. At the moment, this roster, when I look at their roster, they should be beating teams more than that. They should have won more than five games. And the fact that they haven't, the Doggies are showing more desire than them. The Dogs should be above them. That was a humiliating performance, and the fact that it was 40-0 at halftime. Look, round six, I think it was, when they played the Rabbitohs, and they got beat right in the bell. I think Big Burgess scored, and Luke Brooks ran the other end of the field to almost win it for the Tigers. And then they had a win at Magic Ground against the depleted Knights. We thought, oh, they're back, but they're just too spasmodic. They can't get a any mojo together. They don't look. Adam Dewey was a big loss for them on the weekend against the Storm, but he's not a 60-point.
I don't think you could put Tom Trebojevic into this side.
That changes. It's the whole 17-man squad should be on notice, and I believe they would be as we speak. I mean, I know James Tarmow spoke after the game. Well, Jimmy, we'll listen to that now before I have a chat about
this. This is James Tarmow speaking to Fox League after the game.
Yeah, obviously pretty disappointed. I think there's a lot of underlying issues that we've got to sort out. I think near the end there, we're starting to get at each other. I think that's the last thing we need at the moment. Start pointing the finger. Only the soft ones do that. We need to be strong. We need to come together. We need to sort this out ourselves. So I think as the captain and the leaders of this side, it's up to us to sort out. But, you know, we've got to come together first before we start fixing everything.
Starting to get at each other.
Yeah, that's the first step to jumping overboard. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Jimmy Tarmow himself couldn't get involved in the game. He played for 34 minutes, made 21 tackles, but had three runs for 26 metres. Melbourne just starved them of the ball and they suffocated them. But Tigers didn't put up a fight. Some of the tries that Melbourne scored were, honestly, they were shocking.
You get more resistance from training, which has had to be training. I think the opposition's irrelevant. Let me ask you, because we put this out on our socials, at Rush Hour Triple M to the West Tigers fans, and we've been inundated with responses. Ando says, I'd be chasing a half that can control the game and try to offload Brooks. Little Lap Around Australia says, get a home ground for starters and buy forwards, not backs. Galvin wants a massive clean-out. Skin Trails and Tails says, sack the coach, sack the selectors. There's a host of suggestions. Yeah. MG, I want you to answer some questions. Do you agree the club is doing the right thing in backing in Michael Maguire?
Oh, I think so, yeah. You need to back one of them.
Okay.
It's either the coach or the playing group, and at the moment, obviously, the club's backing the coach.
Okay, they're backing the coach, which means we got to look at this playing group. Tevita Pangai Jr. is reportedly set to join this club in the coming weeks. Is he the sort of player they need?
The jury's out. I think Tevita needs a sea change, and I think he needs a new identity, a new club, and whether that's giving him more authority if he goes to the Tigers, put him in the front row and just say run as hard as you can, and then I think he could be a good asset because he's a world-class player on his day. He's just inconsistent at the moment. Once he gets consistent, he could be a world beater, but look, I think he's an improvement on what they've got at the moment. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Ando's comment about trying to offload Luke Brooks.
Yeah, well, that's always, you know, he seems to always cop the blame when they lose, and when they win, it's Adam Dewey who helped them win or Moses Mboy. I think I've said this for a long time, that Luke Brooks needs to find another club. You know, I've said that the Rabbitohs, I don't know. All I know is I think Luke Brooks needs a change as well. Okay. I think he needs to get out of there. He's been there too long. Look, again, Tim Sheens' arrival, Noddy Kamali's arrival might change things up, but then we might see infighting, who knows. But there's one alarming thing that James Tarmow said then about the young guys starting to basically backchat each other on the footy field. That's the first stage of capitulation.
With that in mind, MG, I look at what Will Chambers, his influence on the Sharks has been since he turned up. Do the Tigers need to be figuring out what it's going to take to get Dale Finucane into this club?
They could be so lucky as to get him, because he would be just the person that you need.
Brings a standard, wouldn't he?
Someone from an unbelievable club, culture, success rate, work ethic. You know, I'm not seeing what these guys are doing at training, so I can't throw stones, but it's obvious that they're not doing enough. It's obviously they're not getting dirty or, you know, because their game doesn't represent what they're doing at training, and that's not something the coach can control. That's something that if the players don't want to play for the coach, well, they've got to move on.
The coach made it very clear that the players weren't listening to his instructions when he walked out at halftime. We could spend all day just dissecting the problems with the West Tigers. Let me finish on this point, though, MG. Right now, are they the worst club in the comp?
Yep, they are. For mine, they are.
MG, right now, the Sharkies, four wins on the trot, absolutely flying up the ladder. At this rate, they're going to be a part of the finals picture, surprisingly, not something we thought would happen when they got rid of Josh Morris. So the Shire is the place to be. And I want people to embrace that on the 18th of July, because the tradie Sutherland to Surf is getting underway. And I'm going to take my ever-growing running ability down to participate. Do you want to come down?
I'm coming down. Yes, I'm coming down. I won't be running, but I'll be there. I'll be there with the
Will
Liam
Bennett.
Will you
have a beer at the finish line with me?
Oh, I'll definitely have a beer waiting for you. And I'll be there with my streamers going, go, Liam, go.
It's
go,
Liam. This race, MG, the Tradies Sutherland, the Surf, it's almost as old as you. It's celebrating 50 years this year.
Oh, jeez. It's got me by a year.
The Wanda Surf Lifesaving Club presents Tradies Sutherland to Surf, celebrating 50 years this year. You can sign up now to walk or run. It's a fun run, but you don't have to run it. You can walk it.
It's a fantastic thing.
It's 11Ks. Sutherlandtosurf.com.au is where you can sign up. And Triple M is proudly partnering with the race this year. I've signed up. I'm going to get along. I want people to come along. I'm going to be broadcasting while I run, MG.
Oh, so you're a man of many talents.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be finding people who aren't too knackered to have a chat with me mid-race. I might try and find you at the finish line with a frothy in hand, a beer.
I'll be there. I'll go past them my moped and go, go, mate. Come on,
actually,
let's go.
Can you tie some balloons and, like, pace me?
Yeah.
Great,
of course.
Great. We'll get MG on one of the electronic scooters pacing me along the Sutherland the Surf route. But, yeah, it is celebrating its 50th year. It's a fantastic event, 11Ks. You can walk it, you can run it. Get your mates involved, a great way to spend your Sunday morning. Sign up right now, sutherlandtosurf.com.au. Triple M proudly on board with this fantastic, iconic event of the Sutherland Shire. MG, we've talked Origin and we've talked the problem child of the NRL at the moment, which is the West Tigers. There was a great round of football. There's some points in these teams at the moment. Round 15 in the books. If you want to hear the full round review, you can go and grab it on the listener app. But yesterday, Tom Trbojevic, we've run out of, they need a new dictionary. They need new describing words for this bloke and what he's capable of and what he's doing in the game this season.
The superlatives are just mind-blowing. The guy, I've spoken about him for the last month, just saying that it's the best rugby league player that I've ever seen on his day. The way he can turn a game, the size of the man, 6'5", 103 or 104 kilos, he can run like the wind. But he's got the footy brain where he can see things that usually really good halfbacks or, you know, 5'8" see, that it's two plays ahead of everybody else. So that's why he positions himself where he does. And yesterday at halftime, when they're behind 24-8,
they looked gassed. They looked gassed in that first half.
And without Tommy Turbo injection, I think Manly would have been in trouble. It's, you know, there's no other team who relies on one man so much. I know that Manly have come a long way since he's come back, and every player who's in that team have come a long way. You know, you've got Olakau who's playing fantastic footy, and
Jason Saab's
going well, Parker. But the cold hard facts is there's one guy that's, you know, controlling it all, and that's Tommy Turbo. Oh. Yesterday, he single-handedly got them back in the game. And as you mentioned, in a year that he's having, and he's going to be so far away from Nathan Cleary as the Dally M player, it's absurd. But that's how consistent Nathan Cleary is. He's having an out-of-the-box year himself. So these two by far are the best two players in the land at the minute. Tommy Turbo and what he can do athletically is the best player that I've ever seen on his day.
Scary stuff. And New South Wales have got them both for game two on Sunday. So, hey, quickly, all the way back to Friday night, I know you were at this game. Panthers 38-12, almost in front of almost 15,000 people at Bluebet Stadium. I text you in the middle of this game.
You did.
They don't make a mistake. They are relentless.
Yeah, they got behind 12-0. Then it was a Tuck Yahau sin binning, which was could have went either way. I don't think it was a sin binning either. I think Trent Robinson blew up, and I think even Ivan conceded himself.
Well, Cleary slipped.
Yeah. And that was 14 points they put on while he was off. So sin bins do matter these days. But Penrith, the juggernaut that it is, just keep at you. And they do it in – they've got three or four or five people in moving. They're moving every time there's a ball played. So everyone's got these moving parts, and the defensive line don't know who's going to get it. And it's just kind of Harlem Globetrotter-ish, but there's a discipline involved in it that makes them so, so good to watch.
Yeah. The other team we have to talk about, this Cronulla Sharks outfit, 4 wins on the trot, 26-24, they got it done over the Cowboys. They fell over the line a little bit, but they now, you would say that they're almost locked in for one of those last two final spots below those top six teams. They're just going really nicely.
Well, for a team that lost 6 in a row, you'd think, well, they were gone. I think a lot of people put the line through them, and I might have. If we go back through the tapes, I might have. But now I'm thinking, no, I think they're destined to play finals footy. I think there's a few factors. You mentioned one of them earlier, Will Chambers. I think his professionalism and coming from that winning culture that was Melbourne Storm is rubbing off on the Sharkies. Aaron Woods is playing fantastic footy since being told to move on.
Yeah, it's like someone told him he doesn't have a job next year.
Yeah, and he's auditioning beautifully. I think the club will pick him up. Toby Rudolph, young Blake Brayley, and they've got McInnes to come next year as well. I don't know where he's going to play with Brayley playing so well at hooker. And Moylan and Johnson, again, they haven't put their chins down and said, kick stones. They've actually got on their bikes and start pedalling and one of the most exciting players in the whole competition is their fullback, William Kennedy.
Well, Will Kennedy's clearly telling Dino Mezzatesta and Craig Fitzgibbon, hey, just in case you were thinking about playing Nico Hines at fullback when he gets here next year.
No.
He'll play him somewhere else.
He'll be in the halves.
Will Kennedy has been absolutely outstanding for the Sharks, and they continue their climb. They've got a relatively soft section of the draw coming up. So the Sharkies will, on the up and up. But yeah, the weekend, look, we saw some absolute cricket scores, as we mentioned. The Storms win over the Tigers. Parramatta 36-10 over the Bulldogs, and then Manly yesterday 56-24. That lower half of the ladder is starting to become something of a concern from the competition's perspective, I would think.
Yeah, it's murky, isn't it? Everywhere, basically from 10th down, you've got the Raiders, Warriors, Knights, Titans. Knights had a much needed win, but
Mitchell Pearce.
Also on the rookie class of 2021 is fantastic. Another one on the weekend, young Sean Russell from Parramatta scored a double. Tyrell Sloan, the fullback for the Dragons. You put them with the Walshes and the Lorries and the Walkers and the Campbells, Suwali, Arthur of the world, and The rookies this year have really stood up, and it just goes to show you that it's a young man's game. It is a young man's game.
Yeah, the talent that is coming through the game right now, it's exciting for the future of the game. Blake Ferguson.
Yeah, well, I think his time is done, unless there's an injury. Sivo got injured last week, and then comes Russell, who's been scoring prolifically in the New South Wales Cup, and he's done again yesterday.
There's whispers of a rugby union interest for Blake.
Yeah. Heard about that the weekend too.
Well, yeah, Sean Russell, well done to you, sir. Big day in rugby league, obviously, but MG, a massive 48 hours or so in the world of non-rugby league sport. So we finish off Monday with this.
Has MG been paying attention?
Just a monster weekend from a non-rugby league sporting perspective. GWS Giants getting a good win on the weekend.
Nice win.
Against Carlton. So they sit half a game outside the eight at the moment.
Our good mate Toby Green had a starring role.
The torpedo he kicked at quarter time to send them in on a high was monumental. It was outstanding. But MG, I've got sporting audio. I need you to tell me what the sport is and what the story is. Let's start with this.
But I thought the turning point was just, we had an open shot and we made one free throw. We missed the other and then they came down and scored.
I think that sounds like Joel Embiid reacting to teammate Ben Simmons, who went missing in the seventh game of the playoffs.
And Atlanta, your Hawks are headed back to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 6 years.
The Philadelphia 76ers went down in game seven against the Atlanta Hawks. Philadelphia was the best regular season team in the game, or in the Eastern Conference at least.
Went
down in seven.
Yeah, and this was pivotal too, because it's more about Ben Simmons than anybody else. He's the highest paid player in Philly. He only got 5 points. At one stage in the game today, he passed when he could have just shot and had no one on him. I think heads will roll, and I think he's will be the first to go. He won't be at Philadelphia next year.
That was the moment Joel Embiid was speaking to. Ben Simmons offloaded the ball because he was scared that he was going to get fouled because he shot at 25% from the free throw line this series.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
I don't imagine he'll be playing in Philadelphia next season. No. I think they'll be looking for a trade to find a way to maximise Joel Embiid. But basically, all Australians out now. Utah Jazz going out as well. That's Joey Ingles' season done. So on to the conference finals. But no Aussies involved, disappointingly. All right, MG, next story. What's the sport? What's the story, please?
Adam Lafondra places it into that bottom corner and the Cove celebrates.
Lafondra could only be Sydney FC going to another grand final in the A-League.
Sydney FC will get their shot at the historic three-peat. They're into a fifth grand final in the past 7 years.
And they'll be taking on Melbourne City who knocked off MacArthur FC disappointingly. We could have had an all Sydney grand final. But well done to MacArthur FC in their first ever season in the A-League. Tremendous
job. Didn't
they
just get rid of their coach, Mark Rudin? Didn't they just punt him? They lost six or seven in a row and then they got rid of him. I don't know how.
Well, see, you're jumping into a pool that I'm not.
Yeah, but you can't swim in. Put your floaties on next time.
Can't touch the bottom of the pool you've just thrown me into. But
I might be wrong.
Well, our mate up at the Central Coast Mariners has had to walk away. Alan Stajic. He's walked away because he wasn't getting enough financial backing.
They were
the fairy tale story of the year, and now Stadge is gone, and they're up the M1 without a bloody petrol voucher. I don't know. The point is, Sydney FC, though.
Without an E-tag.
Yes. They're up the M1 without an E-tag. That's perfect. Now, Sydney FC into another A-League Grand Final. They will take on Melbourne City, which will be terrific.
Good game.
So good luck to the Sky Blues. Lastly, MG, what is the sport? What is the story?
Another one has landed at the 72nd hole.
Oh, this is a good one. John Rahm won the US Open after only, 2 weeks ago, testing positive to coronavirus.
And John Rahm got it done for him and the rest of Spain.
Yes, it was. It was about 15 days ago. He was leading the Memorial Tournament, and he was at the end of round three, leading by six strokes, informed that he had tested positive for COVID, had to withdraw, cost him a lazy $1 million or so. And then he has turned up today, managed to get through the protocols ahead of the US Open, early permission to play. He has held on and triumphed over South Africa's Louis Oosthuizen. The golfing karma gods were smiling on this bloke.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he must be a damn good player, too, to be winning by six strokes in the tournament that he found out the bad news. And then today he was just awesome. 2.2 mil, I think, he pockets. So.
First ever Spanish player to win the US Open. No real Aussies made much of a run. I think Adam Scott might have been our highest place finisher. The man of the mullet, Cam Smith, missed the cut.
Yeah, Aussie golfers at the moment are treading a bit of water, aren't they?
Well, Jason Day missed. I think he'd been on a run of 32 straight majors, majors, and he missed the cut. Didn't even qualify for this one because he's outside the world top 60 now.
Jason Day's
his career's in a bit of strife at the moment. I'm sure he'll get back, but he's had problems with his back, and it's not going well for old Jason Day. But the point is, John Rahm, outstanding performance. His first major, smiles all around for the Spaniard. MG, that is us done for the day. Tomorrow, a lot of Origin this week, though, as we get closer to Sunday. And we sort of sit and wait for Gladys to tell us, or not Gladys, but Anastasia.
Yeah.
Tell us whether we're going to be allowed to go up.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? No club footy this week, so it would be a lot of a heavy emphasis on Origin. But as always, thanks so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.